Our lesson today comes from Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. Hear God's word. They sailed on to the country of the Gerasenes, directly opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out onto land, a madman from town met him. He was a victim of demons. He hadn't worn clothes for a long time, nor lived at home. He lived in the cemetery. When he saw Jesus, he screamed and he fell before him and he bellowed, "What business do you have messing with me? You're Jesus, Son of the High God, but don't go giving me a hard time." The man said this because Jesus had started to order the unclean spirit out of him. Time after time, the demon threw the man into convulsions. He'd been placed under constant guard and tied with chains and shackles, but crazed and driven wild by the demon, he would shatter the bonds. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Mob. My name is Mob," he said, because many demons afflicted him. And they begged Jesus desperately not to order them to the bottomless pit. A large herd of pigs was browsing and rooting on a nearby hill. And the demons begged Jesus to order them into the pigs. And he gave the order. It was even worse for the pigs than for the man. And crazed, they stampeded over a cliff into the lake and drowned. Those tending the pigs, scared to death, bolted and told their story in town and country. And people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes and making sense. And it was a holy moment. And for a short time, they were more reverent than curious. And then those who'd seen it happen told how the demoniac had been saved. Later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside got together and they asked Jesus to leave. Too much change, too fast. And they were scared. So Jesus got back in the boat, set off, and the man whom he delivered from the demons asked to go with him. But he sent him back saying, "Go home and tell everything God did in you." And so he went back and he preached all over town everything Jesus had done in him. May God give us understanding of this holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Have you ever hit a time in your life when you felt powerless? When you felt that in spite of all your best efforts, nothing was working? When you just wondered why you were even here? This morning, when we read Psalm 42, we heard the psalmist talking about his despair and his pain and his torment. So often within the Christian community, everything is whitewashed so much that you think that no matter what, you're supposed to be happy, perky. Everything's supposed to be great. No problems. Everything's going to go great all the time. Surprise. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of times when people come and they find that all their problems aren't instantly resolved, they either worry that it doesn't work, they worry about their faith, they worry about God, and sometimes they give up. And they give up not realizing that that can actually be the beginning. There's a wonderful story told by John Killinger, an author. And he tells about this very strong, powerful businessman who's away on travel and he's staying in a hotel in Canada. And he's one of those people who's, you know, always trying to problem solve, always trying to fix things, but always feeling anxious, always feeling worried about things, as if the worry and the anxiety can somehow protect him. can somehow make things better, can somehow solve the issues that he's dealing with. But as he's sitting in this room by himself, he's feeling like he's just at the end of his rope. He's so full of despair that he doesn't even want to bother to go downstairs for dinner to eat. He's just there, feeling at the end. The author tells that this man finally hits this point. He's agonizing over everything, paralyzed by his emotion. And he hits this point where, lying on his bed, he moans out loud, "Life isn't worth living this way. I wish I was dead." Have you ever had that feeling before? I think if we're honest, most everyone has been through dark, deep times where we've wondered why we're here, wondered if we can even continue, wondered if life was worth it. And I confess, I am one of those people. I have had those moments of total despair, of feeling overwhelmed by everything, of wondering, "God, why am I here?" In this moment for this man, as he's wondering this, he realized it was the first time he had spoken to God since he was a kid. I mean, actually spoken to God. He'd been so busy making things happen for himself, aware of God kind of in the background, but still somehow feeling like he had to be the one to make it happen. And in that moment, moaning out loud, "Life isn't worth living this way. I wish I were dead," he hears a voice. And that voice says, "It doesn't have to be that way." That's all it said. It doesn't have to be that way. And something in him clicked. Something in him resonated and opened up to that. It doesn't have to be that way. But that leaves a question. So how might it be? And where does one begin? I've shared with you before that I had my own fist-shaking moment. I didn't just ask the question and moan in bed. I literally shook my fist at God. Because I had done all the right things. I had done everything that I thought I was supposed to do. And still, in that pit. And this doesn't just happen to people who are discovering God for the first time. It can happen to you in the midst of your journey. It can take different twists and turns. And there are many who have lived lives of faith, but then who hit this wall. And they grow discouraged. And that's the time that may be most important in your life. Not a time to give up, but a time to be opened up. You see, sometimes we're so busy trying to do our best that we get distracted. And we think that God's there. We think we're listening to Him. We think we're doing what He wants us to do. But a lot of times our well-meaning efforts actually block God out of the picture. And if that's what we choose, He's going to support us. He'll say, "Okay, go for it." He's still there with us, but He's going to give us the time and He's going to give us a space to find out what we need to find out and to discover that on our own, we may not get too far. And in fact, as odd as it may sound, as counterintuitive as it may sound, that moment of facing our demons, of facing the hard stuff in our lives, of accepting our powerlessness, can be the start, the most important start of the most beautiful part of the journey. Where in some ways nothing may change, but on the other side, everything changes. What changes is that when we let God take control, when we recognize the fact that we are pretty powerless in this life, when we recognize the fact that things are going to happen that scare us, that are difficult for us, that are challenging for us, that's the nature of our lives. But there is nothing that God can't use for good in our lives and that God can't transform. Here was this man who had allowed those demons to take over his life, who had gone to the brink of madness. And all of his fears, and all of his anguish, all of his anxiety, not just the man in the story that Jesus met, but the man in that room. Each in their own way were consumed by their demons. And in both cases, God offered healing and a way to rid themselves of those demons. Now that man that John Killinger talks about in the room in Canada, he still remained himself. He still had to deal with challenges. He still had to deal with problems. He still had to deal with his anxieties. But things were changed because God was there to give him the strength. God was there to give him the life and the hope. God was able to walk him through those things that were terrifying and to totally transform his attitude and his vision about life. But what's the obstacle? What keeps us from that? Why doesn't everybody do it? What? You know, if we have a way to beat our demons, how come everybody isn't claiming it, isn't accepting it, isn't going for it? Well, I think we've got a clue also in the scripture. There's an interesting phrase that really caught my eye in here. The people who had seen it, they saw this amazing miracle. And then they came back and they asked Jesus to leave. And the reason why? Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. See, the sad thing is, a lot of times we're reluctant to let go of those demons because that's what we know. That's what's familiar to us. And we'd almost rather hang on to the familiar, no matter how painful, than to venture out in something new and unknown, especially when it happens too quickly. I think back to a situation about 14 years ago at work, when a new manager came in and wanted us to totally redesign our space. And we had this meeting, and he had a vision, you know, because our space was designed as for a studio, everything gray, everything somber, and not too friendly. It was all to secure equipment and other things and to kind of keep people out. And what he saw was redesigning a space that was welcoming and that brought people in, that was in colors, that made people feel comfortable and at home. And it was very difficult for him to sell that idea because it was so much change, too fast. And there were a million questions. Well, if we change this, well then what do we do with this? And where would we put that? And how will we handle this? There were many, many, many questions. And there was much resistance. But a funny thing happened as we started making those changes. We ended up with a place that was far more beautiful, far more enjoyable to be, far more fun. There were all kinds of things that took place, giving us so much more potential even in how we used our space. I keep thinking back, and it's like night and day in how the spaces changed. But the question I ask now is, why were we so resistant? And I see that over and over and over. Why would we resist the good? Fear. Lack of trust. Lack of trust that God has something better. We have to go to that hard place. We have to. Because otherwise we will continue trying to be our own little gods. We'll continue trying to run the show ourselves with all the consequences. But the only way that we can get to where God really wants us to be and really know what He has for us is to embrace it all. Embrace it all and go boldly, fearlessly, wherever God leads us. I'm not saying that's easy. There are still challenges that will continue to hit us all along the way. Life is still life. But what a difference when nothing can get to you. What a difference when people can throw their worst at you and it bounces off. My friends, we all have our demons. That's the nature of life. But they don't have to control us. And if you let God clear them out, He'll replace them with something so much better. So much better. I know. It requires change. It can seem too fast. But it's worth it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we all have our stories. We all have our challenges. We all have our suffering. Help us to trust that You can free us from it all. In Your name we pray. Amen.